So we have faith connected on this planet to different religions a lot of times. That's what people think when they think about faith. But if you kind of clear up all the religious things, faith is believing in the unmanifest. It's being able to hold the possibility of something before it shows up in your reality. So multidimensional beings who are conscious, to them, faith is a normal component of existence. To us, this is something we have or don't have, or maybe we're not masterful at the times. But from the higher sense perspective, beings that are live in other dimensions, that's just the normal experience of reality. So Solar Council sees faith as one of the key components of manifestation of anything in a third dimension, because in 3D we have linear time, which allows much longer period between intention and the resolution of that intention in the manifested state. When you're in a higher realities, then your manifestation is more instant. So your faith, as in your ability to pick it out of the quantum field, say that one, that's the one, then I'm gonna hold that energy as this is mine, and boom, there it is. It just shows up. The higher dimensional you are, the more instant that feels. But when you go dimensionally lower, of course, there's more time delay, and in third dimension, it's the longest time delay. But that's also why a lot of conscious beings come here to master faith. That's why we have so many religions. You know, many worlds out there that are conscious worlds don't have anything like what we have here on Earth. We have thousands of different religious, spiritual, and different kind of like ways to look at God and the universe and different parameters and different rules. But most planets just usually have one, maybe two. This is kind of like normal for them. But for us, look how many we have. And yes, we're all talking about the same thing, and yes, all the rules are kind of the same, but there are so many different perspectives how we're looking at it from. That's because over here, it's not as easy to master and leverage faith, and yet it's necessary in order to manifest anything. So this is something that you might want to hold in your conscious awareness, is that if you are a starseed and you come from elsewhere, then your ability to have faith probably pre-installed, but it might have been suppressed, compressed, overlaid with all sorts of patterns that you've been taught that are negative and that are not going to help you activate that ability to its fullest. So part of utilizing faith correctly for you then would actually be clearing layers of disbelief, layers of self-protection. You know, I mean, think about it, how many times we say, like, well, I don't want to be disappointed, so because of it, I'm not going to let myself believe. Or what if it's not going to work out? I'm going to put like all my desire energy into it, and then I'm going to be crushed by it because it's not going to happen. I can't handle that. That happened before, that was too painful, so because of it, I'm not going to believe. And so on. So that happens actually pretty often with human beings, and especially star seeds, because we get wounded more easily from that department. Now, if you're a forerunner, if you're a conscious earthling, then faith is something you're actually building. So earthlings kind of have faith from the standpoint of nature. That's their natural anchor. Like, they believe in cycles, like they know the sun will rise the next morning, when we star seeds don't always believe that. We can think like, well, I don't know, the world can come to an end tomorrow. But from an earthling perspective, that's not a possibility. For them, there are cycles. They're like, yep, day, night, tomorrow is better than yesterday, whatever. Like, they believe the natural body rhythm, because earthling is naturally made for earth, right? So they are calibrated to this planet. So faith for them is based on that. Developing the faith towards other things, like not just believing that the sun will rise tomorrow, but being able to have faith in manifestation of something you desire, that's something that earthlings are learning. Star seeds, we come from the other direction, which means we don't always believe that sun will rise tomorrow, but we do have faith in unseen reality kind of more naturally, instinctively, unless it's been suppressed by the painful experiences. So either one, earthling or a starseed, it's still about learning to stand in the authority of you holding your own faith. Okay? That means looking at where are you maybe sabotaging it? You know, from the solar console, that's one of the things that a lot of work that they've been doing on this planet is helping people clear out layers of this past referencing. Morphogenic fields on Earth do a lot of that for people. They kind of like plug somebody into this belief about, well, you know, this happened before, so it can happen again, this bad thing, and we don't want that, so let's like not go there, not dream it, not imagine it, not go for it at all, because then what if it hurts again? And yeah, it can hurt again, but it's still better to have faith than not. So one of the ways to deal with that, like if you're finding yourself in a situation where because something hurt in this lifetime or other lifetimes, you future-wise afraid to fully dream it up or go in that direction because of the fear of disappointment or getting hurt, you really want to look at what meaning did you give to the experience in the past. Because chances are the meaning you gave, then you piled on top of it all the evidence, just like we taught earlier in the mentoring, from your thoughts into your emotions, into your heart, calibrating your field, and then your brain, your reticular activating system, kept looking for evidence for that negative pain. So you build a whole library of the negative evidence. Well, no wonder it feels really hard to go into the faith. But if on another hand, you start recalibrating it and clearing your library, like giving it a different meaning, you know, like, yeah, that experience was difficult and painful, but instead of I was betrayed, what if you translate it into this was a lesson of me not having a clear boundary? That's why the circumstance occurred. Or I was not able to, you know, have the specific connection, and because of it, I was rejected, let's say, or I was abused. Okay, what would be the lesson? What was the meaning that you were giving it that's negative? And how can that be readjusted? So then you start to look for evidence of something else. Those little adjustments help tremendously to clean up the overlays of junk and karmic patterns and negative evidence from your face, so you can activate it more. Because the more you can activate it, the more you can leverage it to manifest what you desire. Okay? So what elevates your emotional frequency and enhances your ability to create? I'm going to give you some things here that you can practice. Why do we want to elevate our emotional frequency? Because remember, the higher the frequency, the more expanded your range in the quantum field, which means the more possibility is possible for you. So you want to be able to hold your frequency masterfully with your authority at the highest possible note. That does not mean walk around all the time with, I'm so excited, everything is great. Because of course, that's not going to be true. There's going to be ups and downs. But when you're in the down part, if you're giving it a meaning that's overall beneficial for you somehow, like it's a lesson I'm learning, or I'm just dissatisfied about it because of this, but not the big negative thing, then you're training yourself to kind of stay at the top of the waves instead of go down with your emotional waves all the time. Okay? So what elevates your emotional frequency so that you can enhance your ability to create? One of the things is focusing on beauty. Anytime we notice the beauty around us, like how the light shimmers on, let's say, the drops of water after the rain, or the scent that you're maybe smelling of the flowers or something, or movement of, let's say, an animal, your favorite cat or a dog running by or something like that, or sleeping. Whatever these little things are that are beautiful for you, that you feel as beauty, that naturally elevates your frequency. Another one is gratitude. What is gratitude? It's simply essentially noticing good things, right? It's noticing positives in the negatives. So you can have 99 things that are bad and it's a really bad day, but find one thing that's good. Focus on that instead of the 99 things. That does not mean you're ignoring 99 things. You might still have to deal with them, but choose your authority, focus on the one positive. And before long, your brain will start looking for more positives and start speaking them out from the quantum field for you. That's what gratitude does. It's very much an incredible tool in elevating one's frequency, even when you're really in the negative. Okay? Practicing patience. I know that some of you have incarnated without the patience code onto this planet, because a lot of star seeds don't have that part, because patience means you have to be okay with linear time, and that might be difficult. But patience is also a really important piece in allowing yourself to weather the time storm. So when it takes longer, being able to be patient and keep faith is really important. Another piece is go on the quest, look for signs, look for miracles, notice magical things that happen. Magical things could be like, oh, there's a parking space available right in front of the store, or there's everything sold out and I really wanted this thing, and then I look in the back and there's one thing left for me, exactly the thing I wanted. Or it could be you're looking for something you lost, and before you even thought of asking for directions, somebody says, hey, are you okay? You seem to be lost. And then you say something and they say, oh, it's over there. And you're like right in front of it and you didn't even realize. And so on. Notice those little things. Notice signs that the universe gives you. You know, when somebody says something, or you see something online, or some line in a movie, or a book that falls on your head while you're passing by, and you're like, okay, I open up this page and that's exactly what I needed to read. These things are also signposts on your journey of faith that help you then leverage it for manifestation. Another thing is stretching your mind and belief to unbelievable, okay? That's like how children play, right? Like they have, like, let's say, okay, this is a pen, and now this pen grows wings, and now this pen can fly, and then it flies through the wall, and now it's on another side of the wall, and oh wait, it's in another dimension, and now it's going into this completely different world, and it meets, I don't know, a dragon, and so on. That's unbelievable to the linear mind, but that's making stuff up in a playful way. It's not meant to be literally manifesting it, like that pen is not going to suddenly fly to a different dimension. Well, I don't know, it might in my house, but let's just say something like this probably is not the reality that you're trying to create. But playing these little games with yourself is training your inner muscles to be able to do that when it does count. The more you can do that, the better you get at it. So being able to fantasize, to make stuff up like this, to make it unbelievable and have emotions attached to the unbelievable so it feels in that moment real and believable, that's really important. That's how you train yourself to remind yourself of your faith capacity, okay? Another one is make a list of good things that have happened. One of the practices that I do, and I know many of my clients do, is on the end of the day, make a list of all the good things that happen. If you feel some negative things happen and you need to unload them, that's fine. Make that list too. But end by writing down, these are, I don't know, 2 good things or 5 good things or 20 good things that have happened today. And be like, they could be small. Maybe you found your favorite necklace that was lost for a while. Maybe it's somebody sent you an email finally that you were looking for forever. Maybe it's something much larger and more important for you. But noticing the positives before you go to bed allows your brain then to recalibrate while you're sleeping. So then next day, your reticular activating system will be looking much more for the type of evidence that you just programmed it with. Cutting out of your life negative people, negative activities, negative stimulation of any kind. That's extremely beneficial. So watch what you watch what you read. Pay attention to who you're interacting with. And not only that, but what do you allow yourself to think about? You know, if you're thinking of something negative, you remembered past story of somebody, you know, hurting your feelings. And then you like didn't even notice, and now 2 hours passed, or maybe the rest of the day, and you're miserable and you keep thinking about it. That's a problem. That's not enough authority to tell your mind, nope, we're not going in that direction. We're closing that door and redirecting elsewhere. So really be conscious with your utilizing your authority. Where are you choosing to put your focus? If you're focusing on reading negative things, like you're reading news all the time and it's all the political stuff that's maybe, you know, upsetting you, or if you're watching things on TV all the time that are very traumatic, that's not to say that you should never watch it, that's fine, but there is a difference between seeing something, feeling it, giving it energy, moving it on, and that's it. versus almost like an addiction when you like have to check the news, you have to check the stock market, you have to, like anytime we kind of have to. And if you're an entrepreneur, it might look like having to check your email or your scheduler if somebody scheduled a conversation with you. These things are negative because they are addictive in the negative direction. They are doing something to lower your energy and now creating pleasure in the wrong territory. You're sort of like enjoying the drama of it. So you really want to watch out to not do that. And of course, negative people, I mean, that's common sense, right? Don't hang out with people who bring you down. It's one thing when your normally really uppy and good, positive friend has a bad day. That's different. But it's very much a different story when you're choosing to interact with somebody habitually who always makes you feel bad. You would want to definitely look inside, first of all, what's the lesson here? Why are you feeling bad every time you're interacting with that person? But second, do you really need to be interacting with this person as often as you are? Maybe not. So it's very important to do so because really you have permission to do that. Like, it's your life. You don't have to interact with people, even if they're your family. Just because they are genetically related to you does not mean that you have to interact with them in some way that consistently brings you down. You can limit that to, you know, holidays or checking in occasionally or whatever, because let's say it's your relative, but even then, what is your response and why? So you can modify that and not bring yourself down. Okay? Don't let anything that would lose the link to the harmonious state enter your world. Because remember, high harmonious emotional energy is what you want. That would be gratitude and anything in the satisfaction chemical department. So that's joy, excitement, pleasure, fun, play, positive happiness, like upbeat energy, balance, peace. All those things are the things we want, and we want to maintain them as much as possible. So if you're having a bad moment, you want to return back to that satisfaction energy as quickly as possible. So don't let into your life anything that habitually knocks you out of that state and keeps you out of that state, because that's not beneficial for you. So the more you train yourself with your authority to choose faith that way, the more you're going to be able to manifest what you desire, because that mechanism of manifestation would actually work correctly within your field. Okay? Your abundance is literally determined by the quality of relationship that you have to the quantum field, to the source. This is your ability to co-create. So in order to connect to source, right? I mean, think from the solar console, they are always connected to oneness. All Kaddish to guardians, all the higher level beings that are always interconnected with oneness. So that means they are in that higher state. And they might not feel always emotions the way we do because we have a lot of duality, they have less duality, but they still feel that incredible connectedness in the higher frequency emotional states. So the more you are able to maintain that, the more quality of abundance you can have in your life. So this is what I'm going to leave you with. Play with the list of the things I just gave you. Notice where you're on and where you're off and what needs to be corrected so that you can leverage your faith to manifest what you desire in your life.